Just pray God will help us with all we do. The every missionary we have, we try to furnish a car. We call it MVP program. We have a car for them when they come home to drive. And, of course, printing. You know, we used to try to ship stuff a lot. But it got so expensive and sometimes almost impossible. And now these modern technology again. Now, I was in Bolivia in December, I guess it was, and we've got one of them set up there, Brother Robert Mary, and them things, they'll print like a John and Romans. I mean, just about fast, you just set it, and it's better than print. It used to come off of the presses, and we've got one in, I know we've got one in, Bolivia, Philippines. Vanny runs the one there in the Philippines. Pakistan. See, I can't go to Pakistan, but Brother Akbar's over there. Man, you talk about a missionary. And there he's got one. So we're trying to send those modern day, we buy them in country, buy paper over there, a lot cheaper, and they print for all the missionaries around them. Even if it's a program for their Sunday services. They just call old Vanny. We help. Me and Faye and I put a lot of John and Roman thing like that together while we were there. And what a blessing to see these modern days used right. So, but when you, and I'm nothing, but when you support us, you're supporting things like that. And I appreciate that. The feeding program, we still feed them around. By the way, you may know Scott Suttles. Do you know Scott? You can't go to Denmark. But Scott did. I took them to the airport here just not long ago, and they went on a survey trip, didn't know what they're going to do. In order to get in Denmark, and he had a burden, he pastored one of the finest churches I know of, strong church up in Virginia. But God burdened him to go to Denmark. And he even thought about, we tried to go around the side doors to get in through Change the World or something, you know, like that. But Brother Robert Jones went with him this last time. And he's over there right now, but the last day they were in Denmark, they found a Filipino church that's settled and, you know, there. And you have to have a church to represent you to get in. And we don't understand that in this part of the country. You can build a church about anywhere you want to, but you don't over there. So that church, and they believed right. They had faith promise given. It's right down King James Version. Bible as such, and so they agreed and picked him up at the airport when he got over there, give him a van to drive till he could get something. I mean, it's a miracle to watch the hand of God. Yeah. And you couldn't say that no other way. To get in Denmark that easy. We was trying to get the hard way, just figure out any way to get in and be careful, you know, and God just had it planned all the time. He's there tonight. Praise the Lord. And his brother's up in Maine. Both of them boys, good preachers, Bible scholars nearly, I guess. But they're serving the Lord, and they're with our board. So praise the Lord for that. But just pray for us that God will help us. And I didn't mean to take that much time, but you need to know because you've supported us all these years. And I appreciate it with all my heart. And I want to tell you how it's all done. I was reading this. I've never preached this from a pulpit. I used a little thought like this on the radio last Sunday. But out of Romans. So turn to Romans chapter 1. And I was reading this, just reading along here a week or so ago, and it really got a hold of my heart. And I thought that's the answer. Paul, let me just read this. If you ain't no hurry, I'll just read several verses here. Paul, verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by the prophets in the holy scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and an apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom ye also the called of Jesus Christ to all that be in Rome, beloved, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel, in his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, and the end, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and of me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and the unwise, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel unto you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Father, pray you'd help us now these few minutes. Lord, I need you. I pray you'd open our hearts to the word of God. May the truth of the gospel get a hold of us. And God, help us to be willing to do what we can, as long as we can, everywhere we can. Lord, that we might get the gospel out to this lost and dying world. And we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. But I was reading this the other day, and, you know, Paul said there in verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We don't have anything to be ashamed of, folk. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all. And we just need to get the burden, I guess you'd call it, to get this message out. The gospel, that's our message. That's what we preach. The death, burial, and resurrection. You can study the apostles. Nearly every message they preach is about the resurrection. He's alive. Well, he's still alive, and he's still using the same means. But Paul said there in verse 14, I'm a debtor. Wouldn't it be good if, and I'm not out on a limb, but if we could just wake up every morning with that fresh burden, I need to tell somebody. Amen. I need to. I owe a debt. If you owe a debt to buy a car or a house or something, well, you work at it. You do all you can. You don't want to lose that. But Paul said, I'm debtor. How does it feel to have a debt? To feel that debt, though, to get the gospel. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel at all. Paul believed the gospel as a sinner for salvation. That's what got him in. He knew where he come from. And oh, my, if we could just see everybody in here tonight, where we come from, we'd be embarrassed, I guess, and run out of here, whatever. But the gospel, what got you? The gospel. You heard the gospel, and it got in your heart. And Paul believed that. He knew that. And he wasn't ashamed to believe it and to preach it and to stand for it. In fact, he became an ambassador, a representative of the gospel. He wanted to guard it. There ain't many men like Paul. Boy, he's like a trustee over the gospel. He wanted to go everywhere. You know, he wanted to just to go. And, you know, one place they wanted to go to Bithynia. The Holy Spirit suffered him not. Then he wanted to go, and the Holy Spirit said, but he said, come over here to Macedonia. Boy, he didn't have to pray about it. He'd already prayed up. The next morning, he said, let's go. And they fought. They believed in Paul enough to believe he knew the will of God. I mean, this man had the gospel on his heart. Totally. And if we could ever get a hold of that. But you know, it's a, and don't ever think Paul couldn't believe. I don't think he ever did get used to what God had done with him. I was reading, I think it is it, it's in 1 Timothy, isn't it? But anyhow, how that, you know, when he, 1 Timothy, yeah, chapter 1, the reason I say this, Paul couldn't believe God used him. You know, most of the people God uses, they can't, he that humbleth himself, God's going to do the exalting. When you get thinking you know how and got it all figured out, A, B, C, but it takes the power of God. Without that, we're spinning our wheels. But Paul couldn't believe that God had put his hand on him because he said here in verse 11 of chapter 1, said, according to the glorious gospel of our blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Notice this. He said, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor. Boy, he couldn't grasp it. Brother Wynn, none of us worthy. But we've been made worthy. We're wrapped in his righteousness. We do have access to the holiness of God. You can't live right. Most of us every day have to claim 1 John 1:9, but boy, when we sin, we just confess it and go on, let God forgive it, and we ain't preaching perfection, but I'm telling you, it's a blessing to know that God can use you and will use you if you'll just do that. But anyhow, according to the glorious gospel, and Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know, I believe it's in 2 Timothy where he says, hold fast to the former, of sound, I forget how it words, you know, which thou hast heard. Paul had heard the gospel, and he was trying to give it out. But I'm telling you, which and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Ain't no question about that. Where's Acts 5, isn't it? Where it said, they went out preaching, but also the Holy Ghost. Oh, I don't want to go without him. Amen. I don't want to grieve him. I don't want to offend him. I do sometimes. I have to get on my knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. But I want to be pure. I want to be right. Because that's the only kind God can use. And I, like I said, I ain't preaching perfection, but I know one thing. The old black preacher said, I may not know what it is, but I sure do know what it ain't. You try it without it. Boy, it's a different story. But he wasn't ashamed to teach it as truth, and it is truth, the gospel. What a privilege we have, though, today. Just to be a privilege. You know, sometimes, even today, churches don't think it's... I was thinking about this the other day, and you just try to get this in your mind. When Jesus looked at 12 disciples and said, go into all the world. Can you imagine what a big... I mean, it's still big. It's an impossibility. We're just trying to fulfill a impossibility, but it's possible with God because he's had to do it. But I thought the other day, I thought, well, they didn't have airplanes. I mean, I can get on an airplane and, you know, a few hours be anywhere in the world. Do it all the time. But they didn't have that. They didn't have cars like we have. They didn't have even boats and things like we have. They had boats, but it'd take you, even some of the older missionaries, it'd take months to get to China or somewhere. We can get on a plane in a few hours, be in China, be in the Philippines. You cross the date line. Coming back a little hard, you fly that first 12 hours, and then you have to fly that first 12 hours over again because you crossed the date line. Same. But I think we was at one time, what was it, 37 hours of getting home? You've seen my wife. She's a pretty dignified lady, but I seen her laying out in the airport. I don't think I took a picture of her, but I seen her get on a motorcycle on one of them little islands, and the last word she said, don't you take a picture of me. I couldn't wait till she got about 20 feet. Take a picture of her riding a little old motorcycle. with some fellow she had never met before, taking her across that island. That's the only way to get there. There's no cars. You don't can't walk that far. But, oh, what a blessing, I tell you. That's Malapostle. Now we got a church there. I preached the first message ever. Now we got Brother Timothy Owen, his wife, and Jira. They introduced them and years ago, and they're there. But what the thought I had on my mind, though, what an impossibility. But can God? He said to do it. And if that's all we got to know, and we just take off and do our best, it's our faith in God. We need to, there's no need to be bound. Even physical limitations. God will use anybody that's usable. Anybody that's usable. Everybody can't get around good, but God can use them. And I don't think he ever puts you on a shelf if you're living right. This fellow here is, 100 years old? I remembered. About 100? Well, he's still enjoying the gospel. Amen. What about that? I don't know where I want to live that long or not. I hurt and ache too much now. I can't imagine him, but maybe God's. But I'm just saying, as long as there's breath, and I heard my aunt pray this, she had it wrote down, Lord, don't let my body outlive my brain. I never heard nobody pray that. But she had had a diary, and that every little bit she'd write, Lord, don't let my body. And he didn't. She is smart, knew that book, tutored my wife when she was just a young Christian. Probably what she is today is because of Bernice Coates. And boy, she'd come down to the house, didn't tell her what she's doing. Don't come down there to see one of my little girls or to drink a cup of coffee. But it wouldn't be a minute, few minutes, they'd have the Bible down. We couldn't get it. She'd listen to Dr. Seitler on the radio at her house. She could get it. And she'd done her and she'd teach Faye what Dr. Seitler taught. She's doing what she could. If we'd just be willing to do what we can to get the gospel out, we need to pour it in some young people. I'm 74, and I'll be laying the torch down. One of these days, I reckon, if a rapture, I wish a rapture just happened. Wouldn't that be a blessing? I wouldn't care if it was the last time, and I wouldn't care to even go from right here. Half finished. Just get out of here. I'm ready, and I believe we are getting close. But we need to realize that there's a job to do as long as we can. I've had a prayer for years, Lord, let my last days be my best days. Now, I know that don't have to happen, but I tell you, we can have more than we realize. If we'll just get in it and ask God to help us, he can do the impossible. I don't know where this is a proper place to say this, but I got a hold of something here the other day, or recent weeks, a month ago, so, too. I've preached Luke 11 so many times down through the years about where a friend come to him tonight and had nothing to set before him. And we don't realize how little we have nothing. Your breath's in his hand. We have absolutely nothing. But the word that got a hold of my heart, where he said he went to the big house, said, lend me 3 loaves. And that word lend got a hold of me. And I just got to walking around during the day. In my heart, I'd be saying, Lord, I'd got word, 3 of them little old preachers over on Berea's Isles, they're suffering, needing help. And they're trained. We help them through Bible college. But there's nothing on the island unless you eat fish or got a few chickens. There ain't no cars, no horses, no. It is a few cows, I think, in some areas, but there's nothing. You go by and there'd be screen wire, little old fish that long drying, and they eat them things like popcorn. I don't, but I know missionaries that do. That's what they live on. But I'd got word they were needing help, and I was praying, Lord, lend me some loaves. And if I come and borrow, say, your pastor's lawnmower, it's his, but I believe he'd be willing to let me mow my yard. If I need a tool, or whatever, that's just the illustration. But he said, lend me that, and that got a hold, just borrow from God. And I got to praying that, and I was preaching over in Madison County, there out of Mars Hill. And service went pretty good, I reckon. I'd preached, and we was out on the porch and saying our goodbyes. And a man walked up to me and handed me a ball of money. I said, what's that? He said, I don't know. I said, what am I supposed to do with it? He said, I don't know. God said to give it to you. And it was $2,000 in $20 bills. Just that's a lot of money. But I took them little boys on, or young men, $100 a month. They can live pretty good on that island for $100 a month. Of course, if they get anything unusual, they got to cross the South China Sea to even a grocery store. There's nothing. Nothing. And so I took them on. Well, I said, well, that's 7 months. I'll put 108 months. I got it covered through this month. And if I'm praying, Lord, lend me some more loaves. I don't want to drop them. But the next week, though, in fact, you know this fan over there at Blue Rock, Brother Kenny. He's a good one. I preach for him. And end of the service, you know, he's just quiet, easy going. He just stuck something in my pocket, you know, and he said, brother, said, there's you a little love offering, and said, we just felt like we ought to do something for your missionaries. And I got out there, and I looked, and I had a $200 love offering. And I looked at that other, and I didn't say nothing. I handed it to Faye. I said, you ain't going to believe this. It was $10,000. Boy, I tell you, I couldn't wait to get home, sit down with Christy and Miss Horton, and say, who needs it most? I mean, I tell you, missionaries, well, isn't it a blessing to say, send that in 1,000. Send him 1,000. Send this in 500. Why? That's one of the most blessed things I've ever done in my life, is to be able to help people. Lend me some loaves. And if we'd learned to pray that prayer, you'd pray that prayer. I'd pray that prayer. My wife got a hold of it. She got I don't know whether you know Mickey Kofer or not. He's in Mongolia, one of the greatest missionaries, I guess, it's ever been in history, let alone our day. I mean, he's a Paul. And you can't go to Mongolia and be a missionary, but he got in there as a potter. I seen him live in a tent for all winter there in Bavard, went up on the mountain on his daddy's place, him and his wife, in order to try to adapt to cold weather living over in a tent in Mongolia. But oh, has God ever give him favor? He's got an old Russian factory, and he's got printing presses. He met the vice president years ago, now which is the president, and he loves him to death, led him to the Lord, and he lets him get what? They even shipped a big old backhoe or something over there, shipped it from America, and they let him take it in. Now, that's the power of God. But Faye got a letter from him, and it had a picture of a horse on it. Had 9 children sitting on top of that horse. And boy, when I got, she said, it felt like the Lord laid that horse, children and all, on my chest with a burden that's going to stop printing children's literature. Didn't have the monies to do it with. And said, well, we thought we might make it available to some of our listeners, you know, our supporters. And she just started praying, Lord, lend me some loaves. She got some this morning. It'll be in the mail tomorrow. She sent $3,700 or something. People just hand it to her. When you give her money, I know where it's going. I don't even ask. She told me coming down the road, she looked. She said, this lady gave her some money. She said, well, there's $100 for Mongolia. And it's something to watch God. Only God. But if we just learn to pray, do we believe he's got it? And the blessing is, it's not just 3 loaves. He said, because of his importunity, as much as you need. That's in the book. As much as you need. Whatever you need is. If we believe he's got it, and it's his will, Lord, would you lend me some loaves? Give it out. As fast as you get it, give it out. Now, I promise you, you'll get so excited you can't. You be wishing I am. I ain't never got used to seeing the hand of God work. Never. And you won't either if God's doing it. If you see something's absolutely impossible, and yet can you deny? I used to have a saying, we got them trucks. People said, what do you need? I said, well, if you don't believe it, just go down there in the parking lot and blow the horn. They're real. In fact, the boy I was talking about, that I had in the home when he was 12 years old, Jan Milton. This past week, he said, brother, I've got a tractor trailer in Kansas. We're not using it. And one of our men's driven it several times, and he said, it's yours if you'll just come get it. We're going to go get it. I mean, it runs good, but we're not using it. He's giving it to us. Isn't that a blessing? Boy, it would have been a blessing if we'd had it now. I mean, others, but, oh my, well, I'm rambling, ain't I? But Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel, and that's what it's all about. The people it saves. If you look around, you wouldn't be ashamed. To everyone, verse 6 says, to everyone that believeth. Everyone that believeth. Amen. You don't call rich, poor, you know. It's just everyone that'll believe it. It's sufficient to save the world. And you can't preach the gospel to a wrong people. I don't let, no, if you go, he said to go into all the world. 42 times the word of God says to go ye. And all we and we can't do that, but we can preach the gospel. Amen. With not being ashamed. The power that it has, oh my. The Bible, that verse there says the power of God unto salvation. Ain't nothing else will save you. It takes God. Salvation's of the Lord. Because, and my, it's a blessing to be able to stand and preach and things that you don't even know. And the word of God. In fact, I was preaching. Brother Alfred Willis, some time ago, I didn't know anything on earth had happened. And there was a situation so bad in his church, I had no idea. Brother Alfred Willis, one of the greatest preachers you'll ever hear. And he talked to me. He said, Brother, it may cost me my church. He said, I mean, he couldn't help it, nothing on his part, but it's just a situation. And I preached a message. And boy, we had lunch together, and his wife said, I prayed this morning. I don't know how, Lord, but would you just send a message? Did it help everybody in this situation? Yeah. And evidently it did. I didn't know it. I just preached what God put on my heart. So you can do that with confidence. The problems it'll solve for people that you don't even know. One message should help everybody in this building. Amen. We don't know. We just preach what God puts on our heart. And I'm telling you, it's a blessing. But it's something else when you think about. But the thought hit me. It is. Of course, you have to have a burden. But it's impossible. But it is possible. When you think about the geographically and physically and numerically, I mean, go to the whole world, but it's by faith. We live and walk by faith. And God will do the job. So I'm saying, because I could put down here the pardon that secures. Thank the Lord for that delivering power of the gospel. Amen. Got me, got you. Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel because it's of God. And if we know it's of God, why should we be ashamed? No, and it's life eternal to all that'll believe. Total victory over sin. What else can do that? Nothing. And Paul's confidence in the gospel was based on, I mean, this is supreme above everything. Amen. There's nothing to compare with it. It's more than a religion. It's more than, Paul knew the gospel was far more superior than any, and Paul was a great man, he knew, I guess, the Greeks, the Romans, the Hebrew. He was probably influenced by all that. But he run into something far greater than any philosophy or nothing he ever got a hold of. When the gospel got a hold of him, Paul found something greater than all of them. And Paul's confidence in the gospel was based on its sufficiency. You can go with full assurance. Where I know the language or not, I can preach the gospel in any country, any culture, all over the world, and trust my interpreter to say what I say. Amen. And it'll work every time. It'll work. I tell you right now, the gospel, I mean, it'll grip the mind. It'll stab the conscience. It'll alert them that they're lost. They're sinners. But what a blessing. It'll warm the heart when you accept him on it. And make a blessing. I appreciate so much the gospel. There's nothing like the gospel. Nothing on earth like it. And whatever, you know, whosoever will come. And I can go to the world and say that. If you believe it, you can be saved. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's the power of God unto salvation. But you know, I look, and I'll give you this, and I'm going to quit. When you preach the gospel, I don't care where you're at and what it is. Paul said, I'm ready to preach the gospel there in verse 15 to you at Rome. Said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel in verse 16. But look what it does. And here's why he didn't have to be ashamed. He said, for therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. Well, when you preach the gospel, it'll show people God's holy, he's pure, he's... But just keep preaching. Don't even have to change your message. He says, verse 18, for the wrath of God's revealed. You ever seen anybody under conviction so bad they just... He couldn't breathe, and a shaking and a trembling, and yet, I mean, I have a few times, didn't do a thing but preach the gospel. Well, just keep it preaching. You don't have to have a fancy message, just preach. Amen. By the foolish preaching, God chose to save those who believe. Well, look at verse 20, here's what happens. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Boy, that old hammer, you just keep it going. He'll crack that old stony heart. And all of a sudden, it'll quicken that mind. They realize, I'm lost. He's holy. But here's the way. It's clearly seen. They run to it and get saved. Isn't that a blessing? You've got that privilege. I've got that privilege. And if we'll just do that, there's nothing on earth better than getting to tell somebody about Jesus. That ought to be the theme of all of our life. But you know, I'm going to do something I don't ever do, hardly, but we was going through my mother passed away, and Faye had a box of, you know, just an old box of letters and stuff that we'd kept, and she's sorting through it here recent, and she found this song. I don't know where mother got it, and it says author unknown, but it the name of it, you can tell it's old, it's got, but it said, teach me Lord to care, and it's in the tune of How Great Thou Art. I'm not a singer, but I'm gonna go through it. You get the word of this. Oh, when I think of all the many millions who do not know the sound of thy sweet name, who do not know the miracle of Calvary, who never can thy great salvation claim. Then cries my heart, oh, teach me, Lord, to care until they know how great thou art. Then cries my heart, oh, teach me, Lord, to care until they know how great thou art. But when they know that Jesus died to save them, and when they know the grace he can impart, when Jesus shines his love divine within them, when he transforms their sinful, darkened heart, then they shall sing, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then they shall sing, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Amen. So if we just get a hold of it, you don't have to have a lot of training or nothing just to tell somebody how you, Paul just told how he got saved. He met a man on the Damascus Road. The gospel in person came to him. See, he's killing Christians. Now he's changed. And you get saved, you're changed. So if we'll just get that burden on our heart, as Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I know what it'll do. Know what it done for me. And it'll do the same thing for you. Thank you, preacher.